The Osgoods are here. They're ready to go. We're going to play a track from their CD, Smother and Shrink. This is what it sounds like. And we'll come back and do some interview and some acoustic stuff. You know how it goes. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is The Osgoods. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. The Osgoods have taken over the studio. We have every possible channel in the mixer plugged up with something. Very excited about this. Let's start with introductions. Oh, before I forget, if you want to instant message us, you have a question for the band or something like that, we're on AOL Instant Messenger. The handle is Kill Radio Station. That's one word, Kill Radio Station. Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
So let's just start with... who are you and what do you play?
I'm Anthony. I play guitar, sing, write the songs.
Sounds like a plan.
That's pretty
Next.
Much what I do.
I'm Chris. I play bass and sing background vocals.
And I am Dan. I'm the drummer, percussionist, and egg shaker. And I have two words on the song Sleepyhead.
Yes.
Nice. Does it say that in the in the liner notes?
I didn't get credited for that, but yeah, I should.
Does it's, yeah. Maybe.
That's we'll uncredited vocal debut. We'll
are they and in the?
No and fear. Close.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Nope. So is this, Anthony, is this sort of Anthony and his band? Or is it, like you're saying, you write most of the songs?
No.
How much of a collaborative process is it?
Well, I basically just do the basic structure of it, like chord progression and melody. And then we run run from there, rearrange things, move stuff around, write vocal melodies. I don't write anybody's parts or anything like that. So it's most definitely a band, you know, collaborative process.
All right. Well, we have tons of things to talk about, the inspiration and the aspirations. So why don't we just jump into a live song, and then we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
Well, what are you guys going to play for us first?
We're playing, since we're playing new stuff off the CD, we're going to do some old stuff. So this song is called Baby Benign.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Osgoods.
You said your head is leaking, but cancer never threatened it. On the outside, we'll describe situation comedy. I thought you heard me right. You stood in everything. Baby, be mine. They said you'll be just fine. That tumor is benign, but it's stuck in your head tonight. So what's the matter? I mean grand, otherwise your sense could shatter. Or spread itself inside your mind. From the outside, we'll describe situation comedy. I thought you heard me right. Just don't hear everything. Baby, goodbye. Listen, you'll be just fine. That tumor is benign. That stack in your head.
The Osgoods on Is Good. Let's get the humor of that out of the way. I didn't invite you on here because of your name, as some people might think. So why don't we just decide what... let's figure out what is the name about.
Well, it's not a good story, but I'll be happy to.
This is my favorite.
The band was named a long time ago, probably before we had any songs. And the idea was to come up with something personal, maybe a little mysterious, and that people don't know right away what it means, but it had meaning to us or whatever. And it's named after a disease called Osgood's Slaughter Disease, which...
Wasn't your last song about a tumor?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of... That's a theme, for sure.
Or a happy band.
Just a lot of the OCD action happening. One of someone's suggestion was Osgoods, along with like I think three or four others, and we put them in a hat, picked them out, and that's it stuck.
How long were you guys together, sort of without a name, before you decided, all right, now we really need to move forward?
Well, I hadn't met these guys yet. I started with a friend of mine, Colin, who was a lifelong kid friend of mine, and we had a bass player pretty much right away in college. And just started, we just didn't have very many songs. We'd have like three or four songs and it would build. Eventually I moved out to LA, ran into Went through kind of a series of guys and, you know, trial runs and finally settled on the lineup that is.
Well, Anthony, how did it all start for you? Like, was it, were you a kid and someone bought you a guitar? What was sort of the first musical moment that you can remember?
I don't know the first musical moment, but definitely singing. I really wanted to just write was really what it was. I wanted to write songs. And when somebody showed me a few open chords and said, you can write a song with three chords, I wrote 50 with those same three chords, you know. And so it was always, the guitar was really just a means of a way to write, to be able to, you know, find a backdrop for the melodies that sort of always been the focus of the thing.
This desire to write, did it come from a need to talk about certain things that, you know, you're not able to express in a traditional verbal way, so you found it through lyrics? Or, you know, what was that sort of burning thing that made you feel you had to write songs?
Well, actually, I think it's more musical than lyrical as far as the drive goes. Just a fan of a great melody and a great pop song, and the lyrics came after that, really, and sort of matured as we went along. But yeah, the real drive was to write, you know, solid, punchy pop songs.
What were some of the music you were listening to at the time you started writing music?
I'd gotten into a lot of like new wave stuff, the quirky new, like a lot of Talking Heads, and big fan of Oingo Boingo. I liked They Might Be Giants. That kind of stuff is where it started, and then got more of a rock edge later on in the 90s, along with everyone else, pretty much, you know, and. Obviously, like Kurt Cobain and guys like that who, you know, took those melodies and then gave them balls and angst and all that kind of stuff that really kind of spoke to me. Plus, he couldn't play guitar, which was inspiring.
Right. It made you feel better at knowing
exactly.
You didn't have
wow,
to.
Wow, look how much I can do with
without really knowing how to play.
Exactly.
Was there music that you actively didn't like at that time, too, that you wanted to avoid doing?
Make sure
I don't write a song like this. Or,
yeah, I wasn't. I was turned off by a lot of the metal in the 80s and that kind of stuff. Not so much for the metalness of it, but just sort of the, you know, the whole vibe, the show off, flashy solos and all that stuff. And I felt like, although a lot of them did manage to write good songs, a lot of them didn't.
Yeah,
and it was really secondary to a lot of other things. And I always feel like a good song will kind of work under, you know, a good song can be interpreted a lot of different ways. And so, you know, it wasn't so much the style. I just felt like it had gone to a place where people weren't writing anymore. And then then I got turned on to alternative music and whatever that was and is, and kind of went down that path.
What do you think that is? But I mean, like, that is a term that gets thrown around a lot, alternative. Progressive, indie,
progressive.
And they all use the same, you know, they all kind of tend to mean the same thing, but it's almost impossible to describe. Is there a description that comes to mind for you, a quality of the music or style of the writing?
Well, I would say, I mean, it's really general. It's hard to say, but I'll say that the type of alternative music that appealed to me was the stuff where the lyrics were more introspective. They weren't so much... you know, about women and bars and stuff like that.
Sing about what you know.
Although I like the ladies and the bars. And it was just kind of a stripped down thing. It was like, it was hearing a lot of the times a structure that I was really familiar with interpreted in a whole different way. You know, fuzzy guitars and lo-fi production sometimes really kind of brought that stuff to life. And it just, you know, became a lot of infinite possibilities in terms of like taking what was my foundation and interpreting it in different ways and trying to find new ways of expressing those kinds of melodies and that kind of stuff.
Well, listen, I know you guys brought a lot of songs to play, and I want to make sure we get to them all before the hour's up. So why don't we go to another live song?
All right.
And then Chris and Dan, I want to talk to you guys about how you got involved in the Osgoods and in music in general. What are you going to play now?
We're actually, unless you think it's a bad idea, we're going to play the song that you played first. Do an acoustic version of the song that you just...
All ideas are good ideas on Is Good.
Right.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Osgoods, and whenever you guys are ready.
Right. Song's called Steady. It's about a car accident.
just how easy it could be. It makes me wanna leave it behind. And I don't wanna be, but you just made my glasses break. The advantage, even I don't have any right. This time I'm gonna manage, say what's on my mind. Moment we were fine, suddenly we almost died. Pleasure to collide with you, and I'm a little surprised by what's fashion before my eyes. Here I'm for my life, for my life. Now I've got the advantage, even I don't have any right. This time I'm gonna manage, say what's on my mind.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org, and that is The Osgoods. MySpace.com/TheOsgoods. Chris.
Yes.
So, you have two jobs in this band. You know, a lot of bands usually has a singer songwriter, and then there's, you know, the bass player or the additional guitar player, you know, or the drummer. Yeah. And you're playing guitar. In some songs, you're playing bass. Mm-hmm. And you're also singing. Mm-hmm. Tell me about sort of like, you know, meeting all the expectations of all of those positions.
Well, I guess it just kind of goes back to how I got started with music. I got my first guitar at age 7 and restrung it left-handed, and I started picking up songs off the radio, and I started right into playing cover songs from way, way early on, and carried on doing different kinds of things through, you know, middle school and high school, different instruments, trumpet, trombone, baritone, horn. And I eventually switched to bass about my sophomore year in high school. So when I ended high school, I joined my first cover band and kind of went on from there. I was in probably a dozen over the years.
What was it about the bass that made you want to settle on that?
I don't know. I later found that the low frequencies were kind of a cool thing, you know. Standing in front of a high powered amp and having the woofer blowing my pan legs is kind of a fun thing, but it's just a different approach, you know. It kind of really links the drums and the guitar together. It's kind of the bridge between all that and links it all together. It's fun to sort of provide that anchor.
I heard it once described as, you know, a bass player is someone who likes to be in a band, you know, because you don't have bass players who aren't in bands. You know, there's no solo bass acts, really.
Not really.
And at the same time, the band, a lot of bands, you know, really rely on the bass player to do exactly that, to glue it all together.
Yeah, it's kind of a rare thing when you have a good song that doesn't have bass in it.
Right.
It happens, but it's rare.
So so how did you get involved with Anthony? And
well, I'd been I moved to LA in 98, and I joined a band called Nomad, and I was playing bass for them for a couple of years, and it didn't really work out. So I, about that time that I was deciding to quit, I discovered that I also liked writing songs, and so I wrote nine or ten songs and got my guitar and went out and started playing coffee houses. I did that for a couple of years, and then I kind of went on hiatus and kind of lost my mojo, if you will. But last year, about this time last year, I swore to myself I'd get back out and play, and I wanted to get my bass chops back. And so I looked on Craigslist, I found their ad, and I went and auditioned. And
what did the ad say?
I don't even remember.
Anthony, what were you looking
for?
Trio
looking for a bass player and vocalist. Kind of really sums it up.
Probably had a whole list of influences, and
it did. None of which were my influences.
That was my next question. Did you?
I zeroed in on the fact that it was a trio, and mm-hmm. You mentioned progressive music and alternative. For me, progressive takes on a whole new meaning because I came up in the 70s listening to Rush. Mm-hmm. So progressive rock for me has a completely different meaning for most people now.
Right.
And I've always been fond of the trio format. So I saw a trio and looking for a bass player who sings, and I went, this is great. This is exactly what I've been looking for.
Did you like that, the singing part? Because you had done a little singing on your own before,
I started,
you want to give it up completely.
I started singing in my first cover band when I was 17, and it was kind of a weird birth. I was really nervous and not very confident, but I sort of came into my own, and so now, 20 years on, I feel like I'm a pretty decent vocalist, and it felt like I could support these guys.
All right, Dan, so tell me about your journey with the progressive instruments.
I joined the Osgoods about 2 years ago. It was a pretty easy audition. I did it the same way. Found them on Craigslist. Found about five different bands that I was going to try out with.
I think Craigslist seems to bring more musicians together than MySpace.
We're definitely giving a shout out to Craigslist. I think there was about five bands I was going to try out with. Blew four of them off and then tried out with the Osgoods.
You tried four other ones and they just weren't up to snuff, and then the light.
Which is what I was trying to say, exactly. Right. So, I was...
I blew those off and then,
It was an easy audition because, I listened to the CD. I talked to Anthony on the phone when I found the ad, and he said, all right, I'll mail you a CD out. Got it the next day, listened to the songs. Didn't have a drum set in my house, so I practiced on my couch. Right. I had my, which is now my now wife. Hi, Claudia. I just had her hold up pillows, and I just played on the couches to try to practice for the audition, and came in and figured out that the one pillow was a hi-hat, another pillow was a crash cymbal, and got a call.
But I mean, you played drums before that. You just didn't have a drum set around.
Right,
you didn't learn by beating your wife with the drum set.
Not... Let me rephrase that. I wasn't beating my wife.
She married him, too.
She was cushioned by the pillows. It didn't hurt. The bruises and scars are gone.
Right. The drums.
Right.
Are we on internet? No. So, she recovered.
You're in trouble.
Did it start out for you as a kid with pots and pans kind of thing? Like you
Absolutely.
Just had to make a beat out of things?
Absolutely. The way it started out, my dad has been in a band for as long as I know. And the drummer in his band was born on July 2nd, the same day I was born. So pretty much became, you are destined to be a drummer. That's the way it started out. I think I got my first drum set when I was about five. I think I broke the paper heads in the first half an hour. And it was pots and pans from then on. But then, lessons and then, high school jazz band, wind ensemble. Kind of diddled with it in college, not so much. And then, moved out to LA about 6 years ago and been in a couple different bands. And
is there a particular style of drumming that you feel you excel in or that you prefer to do?
This is it. Kind of like pop, modern rock is what I've always been into. Influences are like, John Bonham and, Dave Grohl, but they're just, in my eyes, untouchable. So I work towards them, but this is where I like to be.
Are there things that you do percussively in the Osgoods that you feel is sort of recognizable as, Dan must be the drummer?
Yeah,
this band,
I think so. I mean, because we took the first when the first CD was given to me, you know, I kind of took it and, you know, put my own little spin on things and changed things up, and they were, you know, really cool about allowing me to branch out and do what is Dan to drums. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I kind of made it my own.
Well, cool. Why don't we play another track from the CD cool. So we can hear what the full drum sound is like. What do you guys recommend?
Why don't we listen to track one?
Sounds good to me. This is from the album Smother and Shrink, which we'll talk about as soon as we come back from listening to this song, Everything Fades by the Osgoods. Stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. I wasn't sure what that sound was for a second at the end of the song. And we're back with the Osgoods. Let's talk a little bit about this album. Is this your debut full length?
No, it is our sophomore. Sophomore.
Software. Where can people get this?
CD Baby. It's downloadable on iTunes.
You can also go to osgoods.net. And click the music link, and there's a link to go right to CD Baby page with the CD on it.
Or one of our live rock performances.
And both of your albums are available that way?
Yep.
And how long did it take you to put together this second album? Did you start it as soon as you finished the first one?
No, that was quite a lengthy process, and actually, Chris was not part of the band when that was recorded. Well,
I'm not on the record.
Chris is not on the record.
On this record that we just played?
Yeah.
It was recorded after I joined. Before,
before you joined. We, at that time, Dan and I had been playing with the bass player. I was with that bass player when we met Dan. And for a couple years, we had been playing live and recording and everything with him. And then right around the time the record was in the almost to mastering stage, we parted ways. And that's when we found Chris. And Chris was great because he had all his own ideas, interpreted things really nicely, and also was able to learn a massive amount of material quickly. And obviously multi-talented, guitar, bass, vocal, like whatever's necessary. So
does this particular setup of the Osgoods feel like the closest to what you initially imagined when you were like, I want to put together a band?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, we all get along great. The creative flow is nice. So yeah, I'm real happy with where things
are. Some beers after this. Yeah.
Do you guys spend a lot of time together, like rehearsing, or like are you like one of those bands that's like constantly working, or do you pretty much just go from show to show?
We rehearse twice a week. We don't hang out as much outside of that as I wish, but we all have ladies. I think we'll blame it on
them. I don't hang out with my friends twice a week.
But we do because we love our beautiful girlfriends and wives. Yes. Okay. That will pay dividends. It doesn't make us sound very cool, but you just stick with me, guys.
No, that's good. This
will work up.
It is important, though, to have like sort of that familial support system as opposed to someone who's like, when are you going to get a real job and, give up these ridiculous pipe dreams, of being an artist.
What was that joke about homeless? Yeah. What's a musician without a girlfriend? Homeless. No, but we do have very supportive ladies, and we do want to thank them for that.
Where are you guys playing next, by the way? We'll come back to this again at the end of the show. But I'm just
curious.
Okay,
our very next one is at Q's River Bottom in the Valley. It's our favorite little dive bar to play out there. And then after that, we're doing Plush Lounge.
What's the date on that show? Might as well tell them now.
Q's is February 24th at 10, Saturday.
Cool. All right. And you have myspace.com/theosgoods, and you also have osgoods.net.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And are they both updated regularly, or is
he
one more than
the MySpace page? I update the website.
So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. So why don't we go into another live song, and we're going to see if plugging in the bass works. Plugging it right into the mixer. Hopefully the sound will come out all right. And what are you going to play for us?
This is Sleepyhead off of our last album before, Smother and Shrink.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and these are the Osgoods.
Welcome to Tide Day, it's nice to see you're finally away. We missed you so much while you were away. I hope this time you're here. You're here to stay now. Are you comfortable?
You run to concentrate on.
You act as if you have no fear. Share it yourself. I've decided not to understand. I feel free. Give a last shade to close the blinds. You get your time the way you can. I didn't know you. You comfortable?
Concentrate on.
You act as if you have no fear. Can't tell if you're there.
Yeah.
You better have my obsessive soul. So I'm here.
if you say you better say so.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guests are the Osgoods. Dan, you were wailing on that thing.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, totally. I could. I just kept picturing your wife going, I remember when you were rehearsing for this song.
Enough of that.
Yeah, I'll go. No, seriously, though, I mean, that's you were very present in that song. Do you get excited about songs where you get to really kind of show off like your talent as a drummer?
I do. I like to shy away from the actual just solos, but I actually mentioned, you know, this to Anthony and Chris before, you know, we got asked to do this radio show about just, you know, stripping down some of our songs and trying to do an acoustic set, and it worked out all right. I like to do this style of music. This, you know, it's kind of stripped away. A lot of our songs work out really well this way.
And it reinforces the fact that the songs are strong by themselves. Mm-hmm. We can just, you know, get down to nothing and, you know, lose electricity and still be able to perform.
Yeah, I think that is a big test. I mean, like, I've had some hard rock groups in here, and it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell if they're good or if they're just loud, you know. But then when you hear them break the song down and actually play it for you, and it's in this tiny room, then you know, like, oh wow, this really is a well constructed song.
Real good litmus test.
Yeah, and a lot of bands, I think, try to make up for their lack of talent with just noise. You know, it's.
Well, we didn't even realize, you know. We've been rehearsing kind of for this for a week, just doing tunes like this, and you'll definitely notice. Wow, we've been kind of hiding behind some feedback during that part for a while. We had to work on that little nugget. So, it's good. I think it's good for a band to, you know, kind of bust it down and be like, okay, what are we actually doing here? How do our parts, you know, match? And we're always thinking in those terms. But you're right. When the drums are going and the guitars are blaring, it's easy to overlook things.
What are your songs about, you think, mostly, when, like, themes that you keep coming back to? I mean, I know there was this sort of disease theme, but
there is sort of a
there's more to it.
Fear and foreboding, foreboding, kind of theme running through a lot of it. I think it's a lot of how would I describe it? There's a lot of nervous energy to the lyrics and sort of what if thinking and. Most of the songs are not linear. I can think of maybe four or five that are kind of about a specific incident or a specific relationship or something like that. But a lot of it is sort of stream of consciousness that, you know, this section will kind of encapsulate this part of an idea, and then it'll kind of flow that way rather than it being real direct in terms of the meaning.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to hear you describe the themes as, you know, foreboding and darkness and, you know, fear, because the sound of the music is fun. It seems like generally most of your songs have this sort of, like,
it's a really good way to couch frightening lyrics, putting them, surrounding them by upbeat melodies and chord progressions, and it's been done before to great effect, and it sounds good. It's a neat way to deliver a kind of an interesting message and kind of sneak it past people.
Tell me about the first time you guys played together as the Osgoods on a stage somewhere in front of an audience, and sort of like how you're perceived by that audience. Was it the first time
with this lineup, the current?
Actually, I'd like to hear about both, with this lineup and then also just sort of as you, Anthony, saying, you know, this is my music, and sort of just presenting it for the first time.
I remember the very first show I ever played, I cried before. The night before. I was really nervous. I was really nervous. It took me a while to really get the vocals happening to where I was confident. And I remember for quite some time, there was really more angst than fun. I was real motivated and driven, but it was something to worry about. But then again, that's kind of life is me as well. But you know, then when it starts to click, I can remember a specific show. I think we did a benefit show for a friend of ours in Tucson, and I remember the first time I was like, wow, this is magical. This is, you know, when it's happening, and, you know, especially when you have a nice mix on stage. Mm-hmm. And it's just playing with people who want to be there and enthusiastic about the music and the songs, and we're bouncing off ideas, there's really nothing better than that for me. It's pretty great.
Have you ever had the, I'm sure you guys have all at least once had the sort of opposite experience of, like, you know, wrong band for the wrong venue with the wrong crowd?
Sure.
And do you just push through it and just you go for
just
it?
Just kind of soldier on and, you know, got to be professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as this lineup, it made it way easier when Chris came in, like, you know, after our other bass player, you know, kind of dropped away, and Anthony and I were kind of like looking at each other like, you know, what are we going to do now? Do you want to still try this? And, you know, we're both for it. I mean, it really easy when Chris stepped in and just took over. I think we were trying to audition people for like 3 songs, and Chris says, well, I know 5.
Yeah.
And then we brought him back again. He's like, well, now I know 7. And we said, well, okay. Anthony and I were like, okay, well, this is going to work.
Yeah, it was
now,
cool.
So.
Like, well, you want to try this song? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Well, and the audition, when I first contacted Anth through email from the ad, it was fortunate timing-wise, because they had still yet to play their last show with their old bass player, Dave Jurz, and they were playing at Q's River Bottom April of last year, and I took my girlfriend out to see them. I said, I'm thinking about auditioning for these guys. I want to see what they're like. I want to see from the audience perspective. And I was just blown away. I thought, this is a tight little trio, powerful sound. This is exactly what I'm looking for, and it was the perfect perspective for me. So I had the audience point of view, and I went home and woodshedded for about a week, maybe 2, I forget, on as many songs as I could get into my brain. And then when we first played, what was it? What show was that?
I think Lava Lounge.
Lounge. I was really, really nervous as well, because I knew Dave, the former bass player, I was very impressed with his playing. I thought he was a really, really accomplished bass player, so I felt like I had pretty big shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
But I just worked really hard at it, and I was nervous the whole time, and the 45-minute set just went like that. It was over before I knew it. But we got a really good response. It felt really great on stage. We had a good mix for the most part, and it was great from then on.
You got a good mix at Lava Lounge?
We did manage it.
We had to pull some teeth out of the engineer, but
guess we're not playing there again.
I asked for a low-Z cable for my direct box, and he brought me a 1/4 inch. I said, no, I asked for a low-Z.
Oh, don't you hate that?
He gave me attitude. He was like, just use the no, I need this cable. Just
no, I tease Lava Lounge. They've been an interesting music venue. But, you know, they're closing, actually, though.
No,
for good,
I did not
soon.
Know that.
Yeah, in March. They have 13 years, and they're shutting down. I guess they're going to reopen later or something else. But
I'm glad we got a chance to play there.
When you were up there playing, were you recalling in your mind that first time that you saw the Osgoods from the audience perspective?
Yeah.
Thinking,
I'm in this position now. So now I feel like I've got to put out what I saw, and we got a pretty good response. I was pretty pleased.
Great. Well, the clock is ticking away, and so I want to get to some more songs, because I know you guys prepared a bunch. Why don't we go into another live song if you guys are ready? Because you have, what, like 3 more, right, that you brought?
Yeah, we can. I mean, that
we overcompensate.
Yeah, we'll
let's just keep it about the music, okay?
Yeah, we'll go to a record after this, I guess. If we run out of stuff, we...
All right, why don't we'll do a live song, and we'll go to the record, and then we'll see if we'll do another one after that.
Okay.
Are we saving the
door? Yeah, we'll go 6-8.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're listening to The Osgoods on Is Good on killradio.org.
You were a whisper. You were nothing. I don't believe what you hear yourself say. You are loud. You are loud. Now the reason it's over. You are loud. You don't want to die. You don't want to die.
You don't want me to
take any chances or blow any off. How was I cancer, but you'll never see.
Court disaster and feeling elated.
Over. You are loud. You are loud. I've a reason it's over.
Let's talk about marketing for a second.
Okay.
The Osgoods, right? Like, you know, you guys are doing great music and you're performing live, but there's sort of like, you know, a direction that a band goes in where they sort of meet wherever it is they feel they're supposed to end up in. And this is what they call the business, right? So you have people who have the power to distribute your record or promote your band or, you know, make your music video or whatever it is. And these are business people. They're not musicians. So you have to sort of translate what you do into business talk. How do you guys do that? How do you pitch yourselves, essentially?
As far as what we think might appeal to the industry or that kind of thing, I think we kind of focus on the songs having the, you know, the hooks, that kind of thing, which I think a lot of the tunes do.
Well, to that end, you've got a song in a songwriting competition.
Well, that is true.
That's made it into the top 15.
Well, that sounds good.
So yeah,
that's a great form of promotion right there.
Out of 15,000.
That's true. The International Songwriting Competition, and there's also a like a separate component to that, which is the viewers are what's it called?
Listeners
Choice. So if you go to songwritingcompetition.com and go under the winners section. You can vote for your favorite finalist. We are up there with a song
awesome.
Called You Made Me.
What's that website again?
I think it's songwritingcompetition.com. That's right.
Easy to remember.
Yes.
So what about when someone says, you're in a band. What kind of band is it?
That is so hard because every description I've ever given us is different from what we get back.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's interesting is that this record is pretty fresh, and haven't gotten a lot of feedback on it yet. We think it has a lot of different qualities than the one before. And I'm curious to see what kind of parallels people draw. With the last record and even from live shows, we heard a lot of Bare Naked Ladies and Blues Traveler and that kind of stuff, which are good bands. But
not really how
not
you see
I'm
yourself.
Coming from. Yeah, yeah, it's not. I think a lot of that has to do with
having a beard.
Maybe having a beard.
People are hooking into your voice, which is really unique.
Yeah. Fat guys with beards is pretty much what it is. I think it's the
style of singing that they think.
Yeah, and those are actually really great bands and good singers, so that's cool. But we feel give this record a little bit more edge in terms of it being a little darker and a little bit heavier too.
How many? You write songs regularly? Or are you the kind of person that comes in with like 10 songs every time you guys have a rehearsal?
I'm not super prolific. We focus on, we're always writing and coming up with stuff, but we do a lot of work in existing stuff and getting it to where we want it to be. And a lot of that has to do with, in terms of how much material we have now, Chris still has things to learn.
Yeah, I haven't
and
learned the entire catalog yet.
When Chris has things to learn, we have things to learn. And it's actually it's almost like working on a new thing because it always has a different dynamic, and we always find things that we didn't find before, and so far always end up happier with how it comes out. So
since the record's so new, we're not really focused on songwriting at the moment. It's Anth has come in with a couple of new ideas, but we've mainly been just kind of trying to get tighter as a band so that we mm-hmm. can go out at a moment's notice and play a good show.
Yeah, we still have stuff that we have to remember.
Yeah.
So that's just sort of nailing down the songs you already know.
At this point, or at least that we've touched on, we do have some new stuff that we've been working and actually playing, but the bulk of rehearsal lately has been trying to get our heads wrapped around, a good chunk of what we already have.
Do you ever bring in a song that sort of gets vetoed by the rest of the band? Like, it's just not an Osgood song? Or?
Not with these guys yet.
Hasn't happened yet. He comes in with ideas, and I'm just like, all right, let's jam on
let's
that.
Let's see what
for
we can do with it.
And, yeah, it's always good ideas.
The guy who I formed with, Colin, the guy who played drums on the record before this, he was a tough sell. I remember a number of times being like, oh, okay, well, I'll put that on the solo record.
So how far do you want to take the Osgoods? I mean, do you see yourself reaching the kind of notoriety that, like you mentioned, like Blues Traveler? Or, I mean, I know it's not the same kind of band, but, that seems like a band that was both super famous and not entirely super famous at the same time, where, had kind of a household recognition, but, wasn't... we never performed MTV Spring Break, kind of thing.
I don't want to see John Popper with a shirt on. Or me, for that matter. But
do you see yourselves getting picked up by a major label and being kind of compartmentalized and marketed in that way? Or do you want
to
become successful as an indie band?
A lot of acts that I've seen over the years is the ones who, the vast majority that don't become household names have their so-called 15 minutes in the spotlight. And after that fades, some of them are able to carry on and some are not. And the ones that carry on usually have a very rabid fan base, will mm-hmm. go anywhere to see them. And I'd like to see that happen. I'd like, not to be just a one-hit wonder, but, to have some longevity, not necessarily like U2 or Mariah Carey selling records after records after records per se, but just to have a steady career and make good music.
I'd like to not have to go to work somewhere else.
Mm. Do you guys see yourselves gradually picking up an audience of of rabid fans of, you know, at each show, you recognize some faces, maybe people you don't even know, but you think you saw them at the last show kind of thing?
Yeah, that's the goal.
It's starting to happen.
We're kind of
spreading out to where we're actually going to be playing.
Yeah, we're focusing now in terms of our live shows is we're going to be getting a little bit out of L.A. because it's hard to branch out. L.A. is really tough. Really it's tough in terms of
well, it's super saturated with musicians.
Oh, my gosh.
And people have connections of venues to make it easier for them to get in.
There'll be
a double-edged sword.
There'll be one band that's got 150 people there, and the very next band will have 10, and then back up to 70. I mean, it's like people don't just go out and what? I mean, we were playing in Long Beach in a little bit, and they were like, the door deal is we charge 7, the band gets 5. I was like, okay. After how many people through the door? Just, you know, charge 7, you get 5.
Wow, that's
cool.
Oh,
really? We don't have to draw 30 people before we get 20%?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that. Or if it's not that, then it's straight up, you know, pay for play. Like, right. Okay, well, yeah. You have to sell, you know, $400 worth of tickets or something like that.
Exactly.
Has that been a challenge for you guys? Sort of like you really want to play, but you have to find a venue that will let you go on a stage? And you have to say, what's your draw?
It hasn't been that bad.
It's not hard to find a stage.
It hasn't been that bad, but it's not real money-making venture yet. Mm-hmm. We're totally doing this for the love of the music, but you know it'll get there. It just takes work and effort.
Why don't we listen to another song from the album? And we'll drink some water and catch our breath.
Why don't we do the tune that's in the songwriting contest?
Oh, that's a great idea. What
track 4, I believe it is. You Made It Easy.
Yes, it is. So remind us once again, this is doing very well in the songwriting contest.
It's a finalist in the International Songwriting Competition. The website is songwritingcompetition.com.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Osgoods.
Talk to me, or turn on the TV. Static I can't see. Yeah. How long do you wait? Content to contemplate another wasted day. Yeah. You'll never hear me say it out loud. Down, yeah.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Osgoods. We're about out of time, so just to recap, you can check them out, myspace.com/theosgoods, as well as osgoods.net. And remind me once again where you guys are playing next.
We're playing at a place called Q's River Bottom in
Burbank.
It's in Burbank next.
24th.
What time?
10. 10 o'clock.
And your album, Smother and Shrink, is available from CD Baby and
through our website,
else.
Through MySpace, iTunes.
At our shows.
All right. So let's do one more live song before we have to go. What are you going to play for us?
All right. We're going to try this one with Chris on guitar.
Instead of bass.
Instead of bass. So this is Not Afraid.
Anthony, Chris, Dan, thank you guys so much for coming in.
John, thank
Pleasure
you.
To be
for
here.
Having
Thanks,
us.
John.
The music is great. You can, if you're listening now and you want to let someone else know about it, or you want to listen to it again later, this will be available for download. Just go to isgoodmusic.com or myspace.com/thisisgood later today, and it will be up. And don't forget to go drop by myspace.com/theosgoods as well as osgoods.net and check out their upcoming performances. Guys, thanks again.
Thank you very much, John.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. I'll be back next week. My guest is R&B singer-songwriter Amina.